Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you seen her? So bad and pretty, moving with a stallion.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Wednesday to you. Gorgeous day out there. Going to get cooler and cooler until it's in the 70s over the weekend. And I don't want to burst your bubble, but next Friday's 98. So pretend I didn't say that. Every month we have Davide Weaver come in and he brings our artist of the month. And they're always interesting. And I always enjoy talking to them, especially being a very bad artist myself. But I grew up in an artistic family, so it means a lot to me. And today we have Sheila Sudarwala. And I was doing some research on Sheila. And I told her when she came in, not to embarrass her right off the bat, but my Lord, the life you've had. I mean, for real, like, it's so interesting, and you've had so many accomplishments, and your heart really does seem to be in the right place. So good on you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. You're going to make me cry in the first 2 seconds.
I'm good at that. Yeah. No one leaves here without crying. No, congratulations. That's so wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Such a pure approach that it seems that you've taken to everything, and you've been rewarded with success all the way through.
It's important to reflect on that.
Yeah.
Even when times get hard, I have to remind myself.
Yeah. So usually we just talk mostly about the art, and we will talk about the art, mm-hmm. but your life story is so interesting. Go back as far as you want to go. Like I was reading about you being born of Indian descent and being Zoroastrian, and I studied Zoroastrianism a little bit and also Christian Science. It's like, what an interesting upbringing.
I feel very blessed for the way I grew up and the family I grew up in. And I think that's definitely why I've done certain things that I have in my life. Mm-hmm. Social work, for one. Mm-hmm. For decades, I worked with kids in foster care and older kiddos and adoption. And it was really important to me because I realized how incredibly blessed I had been with my parents, who gave nothing but unconditional love and support and guidance, and that not everyone is afforded that gift.
Yeah.
So for me, it's always been very important to try, even in a little itty bitty bit, to pass that on to other people. It's really important for me to. I want people to feel seen and respected and valued in my presence.
Yeah. That's about all you can do, right? It really is.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah. We're talking about that at the essence, every religion just wants you to be a good dude.
Yeah.
You know, it just really does come down to the golden rule. And then you can have the trappings of, you know, whatever you want to do, a guy in a big hat, whatever you know, whatever you like. But if you just have the guy in the big hat and you're not treating people with kindness, you don't have much.
Right. Exactly.
Right. It's always going to be a guy in a big hat.
Yeah. I would say that'd be a shallow version of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about your eyesight and how this has affected your life and what you do.
Sure. I like to look at it as another blessing. It was actually in boarding school, and I woke up one day and I was in excruciating pain and was having trouble seeing, and I was sent home and for medical care, and we went from doctor to doctor, specialist to specialist. And finally, it was a young doctor in an emergency room in Toronto, Canada, who says, you know, I think this is going to sound outrageous because you're so young, but I think you have glaucoma at a very advanced stage.
Wow.
And so glaucoma, cataracts, all the other wonderful things that goes along with it. And many doctors, many specialists told my parents, you know, just withdraw her from school. She's not going to be able to graduate. She won't go on to college, of course, and she'll be dependent upon you because she's going to lose her sight. And my parents chose not to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily enough, also, I went to Principia boarding school in Town and Country, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
and had amazing professors. One, Mr. Evans, he was my history professor, and he said, no, you're going to continue to do your schoolwork till you get back here. He faxed me. See, I just aged myself. He faxed homework every day, as mm-hmm. the other professors did, and I would fax my homework back, went back to school. And now at that time, I had been preparing for an art show, a juried art competition, and I was working on a very, very detailed black and white piece. But with the eyesight, it was a little difficult to see black and white. So I decided to just scrap that and start a new piece of very, very bright colors, very inspired by Mark Rothko. That ended up actually placing in the art show. And again, I couldn't have done anything without that encouragement, without that belief, that cheerleaders, mm-hmm. if you will, from my parents, from my teachers. And it has been a very, very difficult road. I've had so many procedures, I've lost count, right? Double digits. But I said in the beginning, you know, I look at it as a blessing because it has taught me resiliency. It's taught me to adapt. And I think those are life lessons I use with the population I work with now.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God for Mr. Evans.
Yeah.
And all the Mr. Evans out there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, applaud all the great teachers out there.
Yeah. Because it would have been so easy, to, especially in that day and age, to go, yeah. You know, what am I going to do?
Yeah, just like, now, thankfully, there's been a lot of advances, mm-hmm. so hopefully other people don't have to
yeah.
go through what I did.
Did your eyesight steadily decline? Did it get any better for the procedures you've had?
I technically don't see out of the left eye.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, I'm...
What a sentence. Which is fine.
Which is fine.
What are you going to do?
You know, a lot of folks think that in America, majority of disabilities are required over a lifespan. And so a lot of folks think it doesn't affect them and won't affect them. But the reality is, at some point in your life, you very well might be faced with this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's so important to support, whether it affects you now or not, whether you have a loved one, say with Down syndrome or PTSD or multiple sclerosis, it's important that we support efforts, right? Because it very well, your reality might be that.
Yeah.
In the future.
You never know.
You never know.
No.
You never know. But the number one thing I try to do with the artists at Artists First, which is the nonprofit I'm executive director of, is we do not place limitations on our artists. We're very strengths-based. We don't look at deficits. We build on strengths because everyone has strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And people with disabilities, they're the experts. They have had to learn how to adapt in a world that's not made for them.
Yeah. How did, was your eyesight a major contributor to the art you ended up doing? Did you have to run around your backhand, or did you just plow through and do what you would have done anyway?
I don't know what I would have done anyways. I know what I enjoy and do, and that's abstract, very big pieces, mm-hmm. usually abstract, and creative self-expression. It's just, it's getting, helping make, as one of my artists says, artist first helps him make sense of the world he lives in. And that's art, period, I think, for me. It helps you process emotions, thoughts, feelings, questions.
Yeah. And there's so many people out there. We all have our language, right? Mine's always been comedy. Everything, and my kids are the same way. We speak the same language. Everything goes through this filter of comedy. Even tragedy goes through my filter. And there are artists out there who don't even know they're artists yet, and they don't know why they think the way they do or why they feel the way they do. And then when you meet other artists, you go, oh, you're like me.
You're speaking my language.
It's so important. Yeah. Who is artists first for?
Everyone. We are inclusive. We are open to everyone. We do have evidence-based programs for specific populations using creative self-expression. So as I said, individuals with disabilities, that could be mental health, cognitive, physical, temporary, long-term. We have programs for kids mm-hmm. and programs for veterans, specifically veterans who are transitioning, reintegrating into civilian life.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That is very important. Thank you for everything you're doing for the community, too.
How are you supported financially? Can people out there help out?
Absolutely. Running a nonprofit is not easy.
Yeah.
Period. But when you deal with people with disabilities, veterans, kids, and the arts, makes it even harder. Every single area has been cut funding-wise from Fed, state, and local corporations, foundations. They've all changed. So they're asking you to do more with less. So we really are at a point where we rely on community donations.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be time, could be art supplies. And certainly we welcome financial donations. Yeah. Just go to our website, artistfirststl.org.
Excellent. And we'll put that up on our social media. And come back again. And let's talk about this, and let's maybe do something together. Help you raise a little money.
We'd love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. You're lovely. It's great to meet you.
Thank you.
And, you're very welcome.
So grateful to Art Fusion. I was just blown away when Davide called. Yeah. I was like, what do you mean?
And again, congratulations. Yeah, well deserved to be the St. Louis Artist of the Month for July. And keep doing what you're doing, and why this program's important, because it supports artists as yourself that are doing great things in the community while supporting themselves as an artist. And we need to put the wind in your sails and keep you afloat and keep you doing what you're doing, because it impacts us all in St. Louis in a positive way.
Yeah. Well done. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Hopefully you got to hear that interview with Sheila. Just an incredible person. We should replay that sometime. She's just so cool. Janelle is here day early, right? Because we're off tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And Wiggins is going to be here at 3.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like we need an update on the Odyssey. Like, who else has seen it? I'm seeing it next week with Nick.
Yeah.
At Ronnie's on some sort of a bigger screen. Is that where you saw it as well?
The IMAX screen is there, yeah. I didn't know that B&B Creve-Coeur has the 4DX, where
Tell me about that.
The seats shift, and they spray water at you, and...
Huh.
Yeah.
Is that attractive to you, or is it like...
I would do it, sure, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be my... I wouldn't go into it the first time seeing it like that. I would want to experience the movie because I would be afraid, like, what happens if I get, like, sick, like, seasick or, you know, and then I'm not able to enjoy the movie or if it takes me out and, like, it distracts me so much that I can't. But, yeah, I would be intrigued in doing it. I think it's at over 700 million right now in 12 days.
Hmm.
Yeah, we were just talking about it yesterday about it. I mean... Even bad, what do they say? Bad press or bad attention is still attention. And I think everybody knew it was going to do, at least my circle, we all knew that The Odyssey was going to do probably $1 billion. I think it's going to do even more than that, thanks to Elon.
Oh,
I think people are doubling down and going to see it just because of him showing his butt.
You know why I feel really fortunate in this situation? It's not always the case, but in this situation with this movie that I'll see next week, I don't care.
Nobody should.
I don't care about the cast. I don't care about how honest it is to the original manuscript.
It's a work movie. It's a work of fiction. And the thing is, if you're upset about this, then tell me you were upset when they cast lions for Hamlet, when the Lion King did it. Or, I mean, like, I think Denzel Washington has played Othello, and we've had... Christian Bale play Moses and Joel Edgerton playing Ramses. Like, it's
guy from Boston is Odysseus. He's playing a Greek king.
Yeah.
It's
I'm sure Odysseus.
Take it easy.
It's an adaptation of a fictional story.
Yes.
So that's the end of it. They've been adapting fictional works of art since, you know, film has existed. So it's like, I think he thought the problem with Elon is Elon thinks social media is real life. And he thinks that if he has 250 million, he's willing to be like, look at how popular I am. Okay, bro, but that's not real life.
Yeah.
Like, people exist offline. So I think he thinks that if he says something, he's just going to have this massive impact and it's just going to tank and flop. And it this doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad to see it doing good. We've got Spider-Man coming out this weekend. I think these two will kind of rule the summer. And I'm thrilled with that. But I kept waiting for him to tweet something stupid like, did you know MJ's played by a black girl? You know, it's like, good. Yeah. Do Spider-Man some big bank, too, like on their behalf. So,
well, we'll talk about Spider-Man on the other side of the break. When is Doomsday?
That's not until like December 18th.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Quick break. Right back. DGS. DGS on KMOX. Wiggins is going to be here at 3 p.m. That's always fun. Matt Pauly will join us at 4. Lots to talk about with the Cardinals, with the trade deadline coming up next Monday. Janelle is here. So you saw Spider-Man.
I did.
Before we get into the movie, you just kind of blew me away because my Spider-Man is the 70s cartoon Spider-Man.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
That's where I kind of stopped.
Sure.
And I can't believe I wasn't a comic book kid more than I was. I have all the makings for it, but I just
you
wasn't.
You really do.
Yeah,
like,
I really do.
You left me out there just dangling.
Well, I was thinking about this. I can't believe I am not the OG gamer because I was a nerd.
Sure.
I was a dork.
Sure.
I remember when Pong came out.
Okay.
I played Pong in Eddie O'Neill's bedroom. Then I had Intellivision.
Yeah.
And then...
That was the first one in color.
I think what it was is I was too much of a geek. Like, when the arcade opened at the bowling alley, I was too afraid to go in there. Like, just the social commitments.
So you were actually... You thought the geeks were actually cooler than what we were.
100%.
Wow.
Yeah, I was bowling.
I don't think that's ever happened in my life.
I was bowling with a ball with my name on it in seventh grade by myself and walked by this arcade with all the popular kids and I just ran out the door. Nice. I'm like, well, I'll never play those games. It's clearly above my pay grade. But I say all that to say that I didn't know Spider-Man was a tragic figure.
Yeah, he's so down and out in the comics. He's for the most part miserable. He's always cracking jokes due to like his situation being lonely. He's like I said, we were talking about, he loses his job constantly because he's busy being Spider-Man. There's only, you know, only MJ really kind of knows his identity. He lives with his, I mean, in the movies now you got Marissa Tomei, which, you know, she's not exactly the old right. aunt that he's living with yeah. in the comics. But yeah, no, he goes through terrible loss constantly. He is a tragic figure compared to, I mean, not like Tony Stark is an alcoholic in the comics, depending on what you want. Like Captain America just never changes. Other one, they do go through things, you know, depending on whatever comic event you read. But yeah, he is a tragic figure. So when this trailer came out and it showed him so lonely and sad and miserable, people were like, finally, we get our miserable Spider-Man. Because he's always had Stark gear. He's had Tony funding him.
Yeah.
He's been a part of the Avengers. He's always had that. He's had his girlfriend and all that. And now this movie wipes away a lot. Now, that's not to say as you still see him with tech, obviously, but he's living in a very broken down apartment. He is very much alone because at the end of No Way Home, he has Doctor Strange wipe everybody's memory of him. So he's
in every part of the multiverse.
Yes. He is alone. He is very, very, very alone. And it shows that, yes, even though he has this working relationship with the police at this point in the story, in his life, nobody knows who he is, but he's lost all of his friends and he's kind of watching outside and watch everybody. And so, yeah, it's very sad. He's very lonely. He is a tragic figure, which it's people were glad to see it because it's comic book accurate. Yeah.
I bet a lot of people who didn't know that were probably really surprised.
They're mad online. Yeah.
Oh.
There's a lot of people angry online. Like, why is Spider-Man sad?
And it's like, well, thank you. Well,
it's because he was in the books.
Yeah. Like, the reason us dorks exist is like, grab one of us, adopt one of us, we'll teach you the ways, you know? So it's like, yeah, even like Tom Holland was like, I was shocked about how many of my friends were telling me, like, thank God we've got our miserable Spider-Man. He's like, okay, didn't know you guys were wanting that so bad. But yeah, no,
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And how's the movie overall?
I thought it was the best Tom Holland Spider-Man movie yet. Now, some people that might not be a huge bar, some people are just huge fans of the Tobey Maguire and then nothing will ever eclipse that, which is fine. But yeah, I think the color on it was nice and bright. Some of these movies you've been seeing with these superheroes, it's been like this gray washed out.
Notice that.
Yeah, so it's very bright, very vibrant. The cinematography in this is fantastic. Some of the shots are amazing. The scenes between him and the Punisher are fantastic. You can tell that those two actors have been around each other for the last 12 years. Like they've known each other for that long. But I will say, just for anybody going in, there's no real great surprises. If you've seen the trailer, you've seen a bunch of the movie already. There's nothing that they're really hiding from you in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been rumors on like, oh, this character's this is who this actor is playing. And yeah, you're right. I don't want to say her name here in case anybody doesn't know, but there's no surprises in it. There is a credit scene at the very, very end. I've yet to understand what it really means. Him, you can tell that he has played this character for 10 years because he's really settled into him. Some of the best action scenes I've ever seen out of a Spider-Man movie. Him being a professional ballet dancer in his past, you can really show that he has control over his movement and his body and how he just moves around on the screen. It's good. It's good. I mean, like, again, it's probably about 15, 20 minutes too long because it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But that's what you get with movies now. They're trying to keep you in there for as long as they can.
What are they doing?
I don't know. Who knows? I just don't know if they just don't know what to cut. I don't know if that's editing's. I don't know if that's editing's fault or if it's the director not wanting to let go of anything.
Because this is just me, but sometimes it feels like some people in the movie industry think that it's not a real film
unless
if it's 90 minutes.
You're right. Well, yeah, unless it's a horror movie or a rom-com, I don't know if we'll get too much around the hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. Everything action is always going to be closer to a 2.5 hour mark now. But yeah, I thought, like I said, I thought it was the best of his movies. I'm not going to go so far as to say it's better than the very first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire and William Dafoe as Green Goblin.
Oh, that was great.
Right. Yeah. But I think it holds up. I think people will be pleasantly surprised when they go see it.
Good. Yeah. Good, good. Okay, I have a question about a movie.
Sure.
Pressure.
Okay.
With Brendan Fraser playing Ike. Mm-hmm. And he's my whole problem. I don't dislike Brendan. I've liked him in many things, but I remember seeing him in Gods and Monsters way back when, and I don't think he does well acting angry. And being Ike, Ike had the red ass, right? And so all the trailers I've seen, I can't get past. First of all, he doesn't look anything like Ike. He's like three times his size, and his scenes are like, oh my God, I can totally see you acting. Do you get lost in the movie besides that?
I will say that Andrew Scott makes up for it.
Okay.
And also, I'm blanking on the redhead guy's name who's in the movie. He was in Band of Brothers.
Yes.
And
yes.
My twin.
Yeah.
Damian Lewis.
Damian Lewis.
That's who it is. Yeah. He's really good in it. I think if you let yourself get lost in just like the story and them, how they just came to that plan, I think it'll be okay. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good, good.
I felt the same way watching the trailers.
Did you?
That's just Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't know how much of a personality we know that Eisenhower had. I don't know too much of, like, we know the personality of a lot of other presidents, but I think him being a general and stuff, I think he's probably a little bit more, you know, closed off than maybe he lets himself in. That, but I don't know if I know enough about his personality to say he did a good or bad job. But I mean, it's since I don't know, now all I see is Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
But.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest, though. Like, even when he was a bigger star when he was young, he wasn't exactly an actor. Like, he was in The Mummy, where it's kind of
funny
and silly, but he's not really acting. And then he was in, Georgia the Jungle?
Yeah, and I think until you see him in The Whale, which is a really tough movie to watch.
I've been told not to watch it.
It's tough to watch.
It's
but
a
he's
bad movie.
Excellent. You didn't think you didn't like it?
It's so stupid.
Oh, wow.
The, I will say the end of it, the end of it is like, it takes you out of it. But
as the person here closest to the whale, it's not a good movie.
Okay, well, so wait a minute, why don't you like it then?
I was like, this isn't realistic at all.
it's a very sad movie.
It's stupid. The whole thing is stupid. He is stupid. His nurse lady is stupid. His daughter is stupid. And then at the end when he like, whoop, and he like,
dies.
Fat jumps into heaven. Like, it's just, it's
fat jumps into heaven.
First of all,
stupid.
Spoiled that for a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm comfortable doing that. The movie's been out for 6 years and it sucks. If you haven't already watched The Whale, you were never going to watch The Whale.
Well, I heard it's a really good movie.
Oh, I feel like watching The Whale tonight.
But people who know me
well
are like, don't watch The Whale. Yeah.
It's a very difficult movie to watch because it's very sad and he's very self-sabotaging in the movie and it's very uncomfortable to watch him going through what he's going through.
Is it his best work as an actor?
No, The Mummy is.
Yeah, I would actually agree with Andrew in that.
I'm
like,
not kidding.
Yeah, but that's because I enjoy The Mummy. Yeah. Again, it's, you know, I think the industry considers it his best acting movie, but yeah, I mean, I'd rather watch The Mummy than I'd watch The Whale.
If they could combine those movies.
Yeah, I think that's called The Whale Fall here coming out in a few months.
That is one movie I'm absolutely not ever going to watch under any.
Which one is that?
The Whale Fall? The guy who gets swallowed by the
Josh
whale.
Josh Brolin getting swallowed
by
a whale.
No, it's not Josh Brolin gets swallowed.
Is it Josh Brolin?
No, he's the dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so yeah, there's a scuba diver who gets swallowed by a whale.
Yeah.
And is like
Seems like the dumbest premise I've ever seen for a movie.
It's a very well-loved book, as I understand it, that came out a couple of years ago. Mm. And it's just going to be a nightmare because it's going to be, I'm a little claustrophobic. And
yes.
It's just going to be claustrophobia of the movie because it's a guy moving through a whale.
Did you ever see 13 Lives then? With the guys, with the kids in the cave being taken out?
No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, no, that's a claustrophobic movie.
How are you not a critic?
Because I've never heard of the movie.
I'm just saying we need critics who just go, it's the stupidest movie with the stupidest people.
No, there's people, there's plenty of people like that.
Got enough of those?
The reason, those are the people that go viral because it's like, okay, it wasn't that bad. Like, calm down.
Well, I don't want to be typecast here. There's lots of movies I like. In fact,
just no Christopher Nolan ones.
Most movies I like, I think, are pretty good. I love The Odyssey.
I know. I was shocked to hear that.
But The Whale's a bad movie.
Brian M. says, don't forget about Encino Man.
Yeah, that was pretty easy.
I would much rather watch Encino Man than The Whale.
Yeah. Now I almost have to watch it.
I think I liked Encino Man more than I liked The Whale.
Oh, my God. Yikes. You said that out loud.
Yeah. Encino Man.
At least that one's silly.
Yeah, at least they're trying to have a good time.
Plus, it's got Pauly Shore.
There's nothing in The Whale that they're trying to have a good time. That's like saying Schindler's List didn't have enough laughs.
I think that it is borderline offensive to compare The Whale to Schindler's List.
I'm just saying both of them are very uncomfortable movies to sit through.
Both of them are hard to watch, yes.
Neither are comedies.
Yes, neither are comedies. It's just that one of them is a masterpiece and one of them is The Whale.
Then there's The Whale.
Okay, on that note, we'll take a quick break. Be right back. DGS and KMOX.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Janelle hanging out with us. Wiggins is going to join us at 3 p.m. Rachel will be back next Monday. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We may be on, you know, like 4 o'clock or something like that, but we're hoping not. I'll be pretty drunk, so if I have to show up, I'll have to get an Uber. What do I want to talk about here? Oh, Kev, tell me about the flock cameras. I confess, I don't even know what a flock camera is.
Okay, so essentially, they are AI-run camera systems that are being installed all over the place, and police are able to access information from them. So, for example, it literally will record everything that happens within its view. So if you drive through in your car, it's recording your license plate. And it's going to also try to identify who is in the car using AI. Hmm. And they're using this to find stolen cars. They're using this to find people who commit crimes. But they're gathering all of this stuff without a warrant. And then it's just sitting there. So anybody with access to this system can then say, well, I have questions about Dave Glover. Where was Dave Glover on this day? Well, let's track his car. And we'll put in his license plate number, and now we can find where he was on that given day, even though there's been no warrant, there's been no permission given for anybody to surveil you or to observe you. They don't have to even present probable cause. And it's got a lot of people going, why does this even exist? Hmm. And why isn't somebody in Congress going, wait a minute, we got to follow the law here, guys. We can't just say, well, this is convenient because it's helping us track down stolen cars. Well, that's wonderful, but it can also be very much abused, and nothing should be gathering intelligence on U.S. citizens without a warrant. That shouldn't be happening at all, ever.
Wasn't there a case where there's like 83,000 of them were tapped into to find some woman who had gotten an abortion in Texas?
Well, that's the other problem, is it can be used for things like that to see where you're going. So let's say you're in a state like that, and they're going to be like, oh, whoa. You left the state. We tracked your car going to another state, and then we tracked where you went in that state, and now you've committed a crime.
How would you feel about it if these cameras existed, but law enforcement couldn't access it without a warrant? So they're collecting all of it the way they collect all of our phone calls. It all goes to the Library of Congress, whatever.
We shouldn't be allowed to collect anything without warrants. I mean, that's the simple version of the Constitution, right? We are not supposed to be constantly surveilled. Let me kind of reframe the way I'm putting this. if you're constantly being surveilled, not just because there's a private company's security camera out front, but because it is a government camera that is connected to not just law enforcement, but really any agency that's going to try to access it or pay to access it, because this is a private company that's selling this product. So that company has access to these things too. Mm. Do we trust the companies to have all of that information about people that they don't deserve? What are they going to do with it? Are they going to sell it to other companies? Yes, of course they are, because it's how they're going to make money. But the way I would kind of reframe this is, if you are constantly under surveillance by agencies in your government or private entities without your knowledge, is that actually free? Are you actually a free citizen if everything you do is being tracked, even if you're not under suspicion for doing anything wrong?
So is the argument for it sort of like the Patriot Act? Like, yes. Well, if you don't have anything to hide, you're
essentially, yeah, that's fine. That's the argument for it. Like, well, I haven't done anything wrong. And again, I get that argument, but we still have to follow the law. And we still have a constitution that says we are not subject to being searched. We are not subject to being surveilled without a court saying, yes, you have enough evidence to begin doing this.
Yeah. Interesting.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple. Refreshing.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.